Thank you, Todd, and praise team. Thank you. Good morning. A joy to be with you this morning. I ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the New Testament of our Bibles. It's a blessing to live in the United States of America. I'm very thankful for that. The past few weeks, much of the world, at least representatives of much of the world, have gathered in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil and have celebrated the Summer Olympics. Many nations represented there. God has His people in probably all of those nations. Some of those nations, very few, know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Other nations, the church is growing, and we rejoice in that. But I'm very thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful that here we are able to have a voice in choosing our national leaders, our state leaders, our community leaders. We have choice involved in that, and I'm thankful for that. But what I'd like for us to look at this morning is not political leaders in our nation's government, and other governmental agency in our nation, but rather the leaders in the local assembly. Here in this local church, Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, the name is purposefully chosen, Shannon Hills, to represent the area where we meet. The word Bible is in the name of this local church because we want to emphasize that it's God's Word that we stand upon. It's God's Word that we seek to find His will in and apply it to the way that we meet and also to our lives when we are not here gathered together. And as we read the Word of God, we find that He has instructions for us here in the 21st century as well as the first century when this was written. He has instructions for us regarding how we meet. There is a form that God gives us, and He also, within that form, we have much freedom. We're not like the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. They had a law which prescribed most every aspect of their lives, down to the jot and tittle, as it would be said, in the Hebrew alphabet. But we find in the New Testament that the Spirit of God has come to live within every believer in the Lord Jesus, everyone who is truly born again and saved. We have the Spirit of God living within us to guide us. And therefore, we have a form that God has given to us that you can not just use in one place. The Old Testament nation, the Jews, Judaism had to be practiced in its fullest in only one place in the world, in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where they had to come and meet. And things had to be done a certain way. Now we find in the New Testament, we find the Spirit of God leading us, and we have a form that can be taken anywhere in the world. It can be taken to any continent. It could even be taken to the continent of Antarctica. And you could still meet the way the New Testament prescribes, and we have freedom within that. But again, some of these things are very clear, and we're going to be looking this morning at some of the form, and also we will be considering some of the freedom as we do that. So let's just start out, if we could, to get our text verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and as you see there on the screen, verse 12, we're going to go ahead and read verse 13 as well. And this is Paul's, some of his closing exhortations to the Christians who were meeting in Thessalonica in Europe, modern-day Greece. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Some translations there in that the beginning of that verse say that Paul is urging them to know those who labor among them. But here we're using the word recognize. That word recognize carries with it not only knowing who they are, but having a certain appreciation for who they are and what they do. Presently in our local assembly, we have four elders. I did not look at the back of the bulletin today. Yes, that worked out good. At the back of our bulletin, our sister Mary has on there today the listing of the elders down at the bottom of the back of the bulletin. Whenever there's room, she will have that on there. So we have four men who are presently serving as elders in this local assembly. And so we're going to ask some questions regarding our leaders and try to make some applications for us today. Helpful for us to occasionally revisit this because it's very important. And also, we understand that only having four elders, and I say only, and I'll get to that later, is only in comparison to what we have often had in the past. And so I think that because of that, it's good, and the elders agree with me, the other elders agree that it would be helpful to address this at the present time. So firstly, what are elders? Now, if you went out and took a survey in this neighborhood, or probably your own neighborhood, and you asked what elders are, they would assume you're talking about the elderly people, right? The old folks, as it might be. Now, none of us think we're elderly, right? And nobody thinks they're elderly because elderly people are the people who are older than you, right? They're probably 10, 20 years older than you. Because I used to think 59 was ancient. It was old. You know, 59 is not that old now. Now, depending on your age, you're saying, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is, Mark. You're just wishful thinking. It's old. But it doesn't seem old to me now. But that's not what we're talking about. And in the Old Testament, we mentioned the nation of Israel. That was God's chosen people. He put his hand upon a man named Abram, and he said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And we know that God chose that particular people group because he was going to do some amazing, special things through them. He was going to bring us the Word of God. The Old Testament came through the Jewish people. He was going to have a light for the non-Jewish nations to show them what God is like. And ultimately, he was going to bring the Savior of the world in through the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation at different times had various leaders, but for most of their history, they had what they referred to as elders. Elders. These were some of the leading men in the nation, and they had a lot of decision-making responsibilities and responsibilities in other ways as well. But today, as we think about elders, we're reminded of God's design for leadership in the local church. The local church being a gathering of those who truly know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Not just people who say, I'm a Christian, but people who have understood that they and we are sinners, separated from God, that we have done things that displease God, we have thought things that dishonor God, we have had motives that are impure according to God's standard in His Word, and we recognize that because of that, we are accountable to one who cannot accept us because of our guiltiness before Him, and we have come to that place where we realize that though we are separated from God and we have no hope of ever being forgiven in ourselves and that we can't do enough good, we can't be a good enough person, we can't turn over our leaf enough that somehow God will say, okay, come on in, rather we need our sin dealt with, and that's what the Lord Jesus did. And we have realized that He died for our sins. God becoming man, dying for our sins, raised from the dead, has gone back to heaven after 40 days upon this earth, showing His resurrection body and resurrection life. And we have believed on the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And we've received that free gift. We've received Him. It's about a person. It's not about works. It's not about rituals. It's not about signing on a dotted line. It's about believing on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And those who have done that by faith, receiving the gift of grace from God that He offers to everyone, we become part of the church, the universal church. But the universal church can't gather all together in one place. But we can gather locally, and that's what we do here. And God has a design, He has a form for leadership in the local church. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at a couple of different verses. I'll probably just have you turn to one other passage. But while we're working our way backwards to that passage, go to the book of Philippians. Again, this was a city in Europe, modern-day Europe. This was 2,000 years ago, and they had a group of believers meeting there. You can read about the starting of that local church in Acts chapter 16. And here, as Paul writes a letter to them, he begins it like this. Here's the way he addresses them. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So we've got all the saints, all those that we just described that believe on the Lord Jesus as Savior. He says, you're saints, you're holy ones, you're set apart for God's use. You're set apart from sin to serve God. Now, whether we act on that is another story altogether, and that's not our purpose in gathering this morning in this particular sermon, but very important. And you notice there are also bishops and deacons. We find as we study the New Testament and as we make application of Acts chapter 6, there were a group of men called deacons, literally servants, who were responsible for primarily the material, physical aspects of the local church, particularly widows as they started out in that day. And then there are what's called bishops here. Your translation may say overseers. That's more of a literal translation, and we're going to make some comments on that in just a few moments. In fact, if you would go with me to Acts chapter 20, this will be the last place, I think, that I'm going to ask you to turn to. I'm going to reference a number of passages, but I think we'll probably try to stick with this passage, Acts chapter 20. And while we're here, I'm going to go ahead and at this point, I want to read a fairly lengthy passage in Acts chapter 20. Paul, really the first missionary, he has gone and started a number of local churches, sharing the gospel. People get saved. They want to be together. They want to learn. They want to come and remember the Lord Jesus. They want to enjoy sharing life together. They want to pray together. And we find such a local church at Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. Okay, so beginning at verse 17, we're going to jump in. Paul is on a journey. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's in a hurry. You might say, Mark, you sound like you're in a hurry. Quit talking so fast. I'm in a hurry, but I'm not on my way to Jerusalem. I'm on my way to 12 o'clock, okay? And that's your journey in point two. So I'm kind of hurrying along like Paul. He said, I don't have time to go to Ephesus, but I really want to see the elders, the church leaders from Ephesus. Notice verse 17. He has landed. They're stopping at a harbor there at Miletus. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Okay, keep that in your mind. Remember that. He called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, I'm going to keep reading, but I just want to remind you what we read in verse 17. He called for the elders of the church. Now, notice verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who were sanctified. A lengthy reading, but I wanted you to get the context there. As he's talking to these elders, he says later in his talk, you're never going to see my face again. It's the last time you're going to see me. Broke their hearts. They wept there on that beach as they told him goodbye. They knew that was the end. But what I want you to notice particularly at this point is that he called the elders of the church in verse 17. Okay, he called the elders of the church. And notice how he addresses them in verse 28. He says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The same word as bishops that we read in Philippians 1:1. So we have here elders equal bishops. Okay, or elders equal overseers. Two titles for the same role. And notice a third title here. It's in the verb form. It's not used really in the New Testament, speaking of elders as a noun, but we often use it in that way, and I think appropriately so, because of the verb. Look, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. There's another word, shepherd. So we really have elders equal overseers equal shepherds slash pastors. The word that we find for pastor in the New Testament would be the same word as shepherd. And we'll probably use shepherd more because it's a clearer word painting the picture that we want to see. So we notice there, first of all, as you read through and you read about elders, again, you got to look at the context. Is it the local church or is it Israel? But if it's in the local church, they're talking about these men in God's design for leadership, and if you see overseer or maybe bishop in your translation, again, bishop is a word with a lot of religious connotation in Christendom today. It's not a direct translation. It's a word that I would say has been misused, and so the word overseer, which is more the literal translation of the word, is a better word to use, I think, and that's what we'll use. Elder, overseer, shepherd. Okay, and we're going to come back to those in just a moment. So a couple of things to notice here about elders. First of all, God's design is not a one-person government in the local church. Okay, there are some local churches that have one man. He is called often the senior pastor. And by the way, I'm not here to throw stones at other believers. That is not what I'm doing. Don't take it that way. I'm just making some statements and saying, here's why we do what we do. We don't see in the New Testament this idea of a one person leading the church. The Lord Jesus, we'll see, is the chief shepherd. He is the overseer of our souls. He said, I will build my church. So we don't see a one-person government. You notice there in verse 17 that Paul called for not the elder of the church, but the elders, plural, of the church, singular. And there are several, if you're taking notes, you might want to jot down Acts 14:23. Acts 15:4 and James 5:14. In each of those, you have elders, plural, church, singular. So we find that plurality of leadership. Neither do we find God's design for it to be a democracy. I'm very thankful that nationally, our government, we have a democracy. I'm very thankful for that. But when it comes to the local church, God says, I want a different design. And I have set the design up, and the design is what we've already mentioned, governance by a plurality or a group of elders, more than one, at least two. Two is the minimum. We don't have a maximum. Two is the minimum for governing in the local church. So let's just go through this, leave this point with this note. God's design is always the best design. It's always the best design. And in reality, when God gives us a form, we don't have freedom to mess with the form. We have freedom within the form, but we don't have freedom to change the form where He has given us a form. It's the only acceptable design. Okay, number two, what do elders do? What do elders do? And you say, well, it's obvious, they eld, right? I mean, anybody would know that. Anything about grammar, right? They eld, but I'm not sure what that means. I don't think that's a verb itself either. So what do elders do? Today, if you find, now there are more churches today, definitely, way more churches today of different flavors, we'll call them, that do seek to function under a governance of scriptural elders, okay? But there are a lot of churches still, more churches, even that do see the need for elders, but would function, basically, with elders as primarily a board of directors. And that's their responsibility, just to sit back like a board of directors and make decisions. That's not the biblical model. There are going to be three main broad responsibilities that we're going to quickly mention this morning. And each one of these will be associated with one of those three titles: elder, overseer, bishop. Elders. I'll go ahead and use it in the plural because it's supposed to be a plurality. Elders, overseers, shepherds. Okay? First of all, as elders, the leaders lead. Now, this word elder, if you go and do a study in the Greek or the Hebrew language, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New, you find that it emphasizes age. It's used a lot of times. It has no connotation. Many of those uses has no connotation at all to leadership in the local church. It's just talking about elderly folks like me. That's what it's talking about, okay? So I said it now, young people, so you can just say, okay, he's with it. He knows what's going on, at least in his own age. But when we come here, we find that there's a figurative meaning. And the figurative meaning still ties in. It's still the idea of age, but it's the idea of maturity spiritually, not maturity physically. There could be someone who is very mature physically with many years, but that is not called by God to serve in a role of an elder, that leadership role in the local church. By the same token, it could be a much younger person who we would not call old or elderly, and yet God has given them, and through their life's experience, their study of the Word of God, through God's work in their lives, we find that they have a spiritual maturity. You see, maturity is needed in order to properly and wisely lead. We see failures in that all the time, not just in the church, but in the home. We see husbands that are to lead their wives, and they're sometimes spiritually immature, and that affects their leadership. We see that with parents leading children. We see that with managers leading people. We see that with athletes leading supposedly other athletes who are under them. We see there must be maturity, and in this case, spiritual maturity, because we're talking about a spiritual body, a spiritual group, believers. So I'm going to suggest that they lead, first of all, by setting direction. Setting direction according to God's will and sound doctrine. That's going to come up time and again as we look at what elders do. We're going to see that it comes back to them knowing the Word of God. To be able to set the direction for a local church. You see, again, there is freedom within that form. There are certain things that we cannot mess with. We cannot choose. We don't have the option to decide certain things. God has laid it out just like He has, that we're to be governed by elders. We're to be led by elders, by overseers, by shepherds. But there needs to be a direction set. It may have to do with the location, may have to do with the culture, may impact it. It may have to do with needs in the community where the local church meets, or it may be having to do with needs that are around the world that the local church knows about. As elders, they lead by setting direction, by making decisions. I said that elders are not primarily a board of directors. They're not primarily a decision-making board. That is not the intent of the New Testament, but They do have to make decisions. That's part of the role. So they lead by setting a direction, and they lead by making decisions regarding that direction and other questions that may come up doctrinally, practically in the local assembly. And then thirdly, and I would say, I hesitate to say most importantly, but I think you'll see what I mean, by being models. By being models. In 1 Peter 5:1-5, Peter speaks there a lot about elders. And he says there that the elders are not to be lords over those entrusted to them, but being examples to the flock. So that's the best way to lead, isn't it? When I think about my dad, and I think about the way that he led our family, he taught our family, he instructed our family, he corrected our family, but the best leadership that I received from my dad is his example. He modeled what he wanted us to do and to be. He modeled it. And that's what the elders in the local assembly are supposed to do. Are the elders in this local assembly perfectly doing those things? I'm one of those four elders, and I'll say no, I'm sure we're not. I know we're seeking to be as biblical and as godly and as Spirit-led as we possibly can be as we seek to lead. We want to be models. But also we find that as overseers, the leaders in the local church watch. They watch, technically you could say, they watch over. They watch over. You might say that with the elder title, there's really the emphasis on what the leader thinks. It's a mind. It's knowing the Word of God. It's understanding the will of God. It's seeking the mind of God. And then these same men raised up by God have the responsibility to watch over. To watch over. There you might say the emphasis is on the eyes, what they see. What they think, their elders. What they see, their overseers. They're to be watching. They're to be filled with an awareness of the whole church, all the saints. You know, that's one of the things about being an elder that is the most challenging, and that I think causes elders to sometimes be the most misunderstood. Because an elder has a responsibility not only to think about this age group or that age group or this age group or that ministry or this particular area of interest or this need. The elders have to see the whole thing, have to see the whole picture. And that's not always easy to do. And sometimes in seeking to see the whole picture and to guard the whole flock, some within the flock can get very frustrated. And I will tell you this. I've not always been an elder. Some of you remember me when I wasn't an elder. Some of you changed my diapers in the nursery, right? And you remember me when I was being probably rebuked by the elders rather than being an elder, okay? I know what it is to be frustrated with the elders. My dad was an elder, and sometimes I would communicate my frustration with the elders. And I got a different viewpoint now. Not that everything they did was right, not that I was always wrong, but I see it from a different perspective. When you've got an entire flock, a large group of people, even if you've got a small group of people, and you're responsible to be able to oversee all of them. And then this thought also of overseeing, they watch over the flock with an awareness of dangers to the flock. That's what we read here in Acts 20. Notice how he challenged them and he warned them in verse 29 and verse 30. He said, "Watch out, you elders, because there savage wolves are going to come among you." Savage wolves are going to come from the outside. And today, they can get to us. They don't have to just come in this building, do they? No, they can post something on the internet. They can post a talk on the internet. They can write a book. or they can publish a newspaper. There's a lot of ways for false teachers to spread their message as well as to come in. But not only is there that outside attack, if you noticed there in verse 30, he said, from among yourselves, from within, they're going to be those people, false teachers. You see, the elders have to be watching with an awareness of dangers to the local church. Thirdly, shepherds. Shepherds. There's a lot more I could be saying. It's interesting, in this idea of shepherding, you really get the idea of the elder and the overseer kind of all brought together in a word picture. You see, this shepherd here, what's he doing? He's leading the flock. Now, I'm not saying that a shepherd would never be behind the flock, but the idea of a shepherd is to lead the flock knowing you, the sheep knowing you, and they desiring to follow. So there's that thought of leading, and then there's also that thought of overseeing. Because the shepherd would stand and he would watch. This guy's looking back toward the camera, but he needs to look back over toward the sheep, right? And see, a wolf might come in, right? A savage wolf might come in. Somebody might try to steal a sheep. A sheep might get lost or fall over the edge of a cliff or something or get injured. So both of those are kind of come together in this idea of a shepherd. And so as I think of the shepherd, I think as shepherds, the elders care. They care for the sheep. You know, I think as we think of the elder title, speaking of what they think, their mind, and the overseer, speaking of what they see, their eyes, the shepherding aspect, I think particularly speaks of their heart, what they feel, what they feel. We're not to be guided by our emotions primarily at all. No, we're guided by the Word of God, but we are emotional beings, and our emotions affect us. And Paul, as an example, he had great affection even for this local church. Many other local churches in the New Testament. You know, we read in 1 Timothy 3:5, if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Take care of. That's the responsibility of the leaders. They are to have an affection for and a concern for. Might not always feel it, okay? Might not always feel it, but there's a responsibility there to have a concern for the flock as a sheep, or for the sheep as a flock and as individual sheep. I'll just mention, remind you of what we read about the Lord Jesus in Mark 6:34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Oh, that's a good lead-in to how that we care, how we are supposed to care for the sheep as leaders through feeding with the Word of God. That's one of the shepherd's main responsibility, isn't it? To lead the sheep to green pasture, to something to eat, to something that's healthy, something that's nutritious, also something that they'll want to eat, that has a good flavor to it, hopefully. That's the goal of the shepherd. And we see that that's a responsibility of the elders to feed, to share the Word of God. We read that an elder is to be able to teach. Every elder may not stand up front and teach on Sunday morning, but there are many other ways to teach the Word of God. An elder must know the Word of God and be able to communicate the Word of God in dealing with the issues of life. There has to be an application. Also, we care for the sheep by coming alongside to minister to needs. It's interesting here in this passage, we didn't go that far, but look down at verse 35. And he's still talking to the elders. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this. He said, I'm working with my hands. He said, I'm as well as possibly receiving some fellowship, financial fellowship, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now there's a responsibility of elders to see those who are weak, those who are in need, and to be willing to come alongside of them, whether it's a material need or an emotional need or a spiritual need or a relational need, but to come alongside and to minister, serve for those needs. I could have put this probably under that, but I'll put it separately. Praying for and with the sheep. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him call for the elders of the church. The elders caring for the sheep. I think about the Lord Jesus. I think about Him frequently calling people to follow Him. He's never called an elder, but He obviously was a leader. And He frequently said, follow me, follow me, follow me. He was a leader. And then we also see in 1 Peter 2:25, we're reminded that we were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Again, what do elders do? They lead. They watch. They care for. They use their mind. They use their eyes. They use their hearts. An elder's whole life should be invested in the sheep. Here's a principle we'll close this point with. Leading, overseeing, and shepherding is a labor of love. I like to emphasize both those words, labor and love, those two L's. It's work. Who desires the office of an elder, we read in 1 Timothy 3, desires a good work. We're to labor among the sheep. It's not a position where we sit back in a room in the good old boys club to make decisions, decide to get what we want. No, it's not about that. It's about being involved and working with the sheep and for the sheep. And also alongside the sheep. Why do elders serve? I think what we just said should segue right into that. It should be love. What motivates people to accept the responsibility of serving as an elder? Here's what it should not be. Should not be a desire for power or prestige. Should not be a desire to be in control and get things like you want them to be. It's not so that people will look up to you and say, wow, isn't he a great guy? And I am privileged to serve with three men that I know are not serving for this. Not serving for this. And I've also been an elder long enough to know that if that's your desire, that's not going to keep you going anyway, okay? Because it doesn't always work out like you hope it's going to, right? It's not always an easy thing to do. Should be motivated by a couple things that I want to mention. First of all, a sincere concern for the flock. To love the people of God. And to be concerned with their spiritual growth and the ongoing of the ministry of the local church. And then primarily a true desire to honor the chief shepherd. The Lord Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. And we want to honor Him. And we want to do His will. We're accountable. Hebrews 13:17 speaks of those who watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Account. Why do elders serve? Well, I can tell you this. A man who seeks a position for power or prestige is not to be entrusted with the flock purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus. Never. Never should somebody who just wants a position be entrusted with something so precious as your soul. No way. No way. How are elders selected? We're getting down here. We've got not too many minutes left here. But I want to kind of hit some of these things. And we may kind of finish up next week. But how are elders selected? I think that's an important thing about where we are right now as a local church. Because we've had a number of people come up to us and say, y'all need some more elders. You need some more elders. Well, I will tell you this. For at least 15 years in the at least 15 years we've been praying specifically and looking for more elders. In other words, it's not because we only have four now that, well, man, we need an elder. We need some more elders. No, we've been praying. We're always looking because we're going to see. In fact, here's the next point. Well, first of all, how they selected, not by popularity, longevity, wealth, who they're a friend with, or their charisma. None of those things are how elders are selected. Rather, they're selected by the Holy Spirit. Notice again in verse 28 of Acts 20, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Who made the Ephesian elders, elders and overseers? The Holy Spirit. He made them, He established them in that role. And you say, well, did He come along, the Holy Spirit, somehow take on physical form and come in and say, you're an elder? No, He didn't do that. He used others to guide in that process. But the idea, ideally, it's the Holy Spirit who makes the elders. Does that always happen? Well, we can't guarantee that on this side of heaven, can we? But that's the idea. It's the Holy Spirit who is to make elders. He raised them up as He determines the need. And that is something just to kind of put out there. Let me ask you this. Could we use more elders? Yes. Do we need more elders? Now that's kind of an interesting question. I think I'm going to close on that question. Do we need more elders? From the human perspective, we need more elders. Now, if this local church continues on, we will definitely need more elders because the elders that we presently have are going to eventually pass away, as some of the other elders have done. Do we need more elders? Well, we have to ask God about that, right? We're looking. We're watching. We're watching. We're looking. We're praying. We're desiring is something that the elders spend much time in discussion and prayer about. But the Holy Spirit that raises them up. I had an interesting conversation with Mike Atwood. Some of you heard him when he was here. I think it was maybe this last fall when he was here for special meetings. I was taking him to the airport down in Raleigh on Monday morning, and we were having a conversation, and this is one of the things that I mentioned to him. We were talking about that. Elders. And he made an interesting comment that I hadn't thought about before, and I've shared with the other elders his thought on this. He told me about an assembly, and it was in Arkansas or somewhere. You might say, can anything good come out of Arkansas? Well, that's, you know, I'm sure a lot of things good come out of Arkansas. But he said there's this local church in Arkansas he's familiar with, and they only have three elders that are about the same size as us. But he made an interesting comment. And he said this, you know, when a body of believers is functioning properly, as the body is designed to do, you don't necessarily need as many elders. I never thought about that. But you know, if you are seeking to be a leader, if you are seeking to watch out for others and see who has a need that maybe you could be a part of ministering to or helping guard that maybe that person's getting into false doctrine. If you are caring for one another, you know what? You don't really need, in that sense, as many elders, do you? Now, I'm not saying that's the situation here. I'm not saying that he was saying that, but it gave me personally a different perspective. Because sometimes you begin to wonder. Now, I do want to say this. I'm not going to get to all. We'll do this next week. We're going to get into what we're looking for in the men. But I want to say this at this point. This is in no way, a negative reflection on the men in this assembly who aren't elders. Not at all. Not at all. We have, when I go through these next things, I think you're going to see, we have a lot of men. We have a lot of men who meet the scriptural qualifications, who would have the desire, who would have the ability. But see, what we're looking for, again, we're looking for not the ones that we see, but we're looking for the ones that it seems that the Holy Spirit is giving us direction as the elders and peace regarding. And that's what we're looking for. Not that there's nobody to choose from. That's not. But the point is, the choice is not ours. If the choice was ours, maybe things would be different. But we're looking to the Holy Spirit to guide for a certain brother or brothers at this time. And we're looking and we're seeking. It's not some mystical, magical thing. I don't want you to think that. And we're not back there casting lots or flipping a coin. It's not like that. We're seeking the peace of God. And we'll talk about that some more next week. But I just wanted to mention that because I definitely do not want anybody to get the idea that we're saying, well, there's nobody out there. That's not true. That's not true. It's not true at all. Praise God, it's not true. And we see that many believers, male and female, are functioning in that way that the body's supposed to function. And that is enabling us to continue moving forward, we believe, with the elders we have until we see and know for sure that God is saying, this brother I'm raising up, and you need to recognize him. And we'll talk about that some more in the will of the Lord next week. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, that's one thing. If you have any questions about elders that maybe I haven't addressed, maybe I'm going to get to it, I would love you to send me a text or send me an email or write it down. If you walk by me in the hall and say, I got this question, here it is. And if I don't write it down, don't think I'm going to remember it, okay? So either make sure that I give you the answer right then or write it down or you write it down for me. And maybe some questions will come in that I can add in to what we're going to do next Sunday morning and kind of help us. Maybe there's some questions that aren't being answered by what I'm saying or what I was going to say. So thank you for your time. What a blessing to be with you. If you're visiting, we really welcome you especially and hope that even though this was somewhat of a family conversation, it was a biblical conversation, we hope that you were able to enjoy it and glean from it as well. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, how blessed we are to have it. Lord, how blessed we are to know you, the true and living God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, whom to know is life eternal. Father, we pray for any who may not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. We pray that they would, even where they sit right now, confess that they're sinners before you and ask you to save them. Father, we pray that you will help us as a local church as we seek to move forward. Father, we want your will regarding the oversight of this local assembly, the leadership. Father, the shepherding of the saints here. Father, how precious is this local assembly. Every believer purchased with your own blood. Father, we thank you for one another. Thank you for one another. And may you guide us as we move into the days ahead. Thank you for your goodness, for your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Ask our brother to play. Just meditate for a moment. Maybe think of a question or maybe think of one application for yourself as he plays this verse. Thank you.